I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I don't understand why he would, but I'm glad he did. I can't explain it, but I can proclaim it. I hope that, pray that my life will show somebody to Christ. I hope that my walk will always show Christ in me. I'm not perfect by no means, but I ain't where I should be, but I'm a whole lot farther than I used to be. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Lord, being our helper this morning, we'll start with verse number 13. The Bible says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again this morning, Lord. God, I ask for your touch this morning, Heavenly Father. God, I ask that, Lord, anything between me and thee, Lord, you remove it, God, and that you just, God, hedge me in and help me for just a few minutes, Heavenly Father. God, I ask you to hedge this place in, Lord. I thank you for Liberty Baptist Church. God, I thank you for a place I can come and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, where you are, God. It's not a platform. It's not a program. It's not anything but you, God. And I'm thankful that there's still places like this, Lord. There's still ports in the storm, Heavenly Father, that we can come to. God, I ask you to bless each home here. God, just touch each and every one. And God, just help me for just a few minutes to be a blessing to your people. I love you and I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I'm interested in verse number 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." You know, this message or this class this morning, I guess, is kind of twofold. It goes out toward those of us that are saved. I'm not going to jump off into the deep end of theocracy and doctrine and stuff like that. I like what Brother Jamie said one time. We're going to splash around in the kiddie pool this morning. You know, I love to chew on the meat. I do. I love to get in the deep theologies of God and study God's Word. But every now and then, I like to have a little bit of milk to wash that meat down with. You know, so we're not going to do that this morning. But what this is kind of like a twofold message. It's going, like I said, it's going to be for the saved this morning. And if you're out there this morning and you're lost, maybe this will give you some answers to what's right there in verse number 15, where it says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you." And the thought of my lesson is this: asked and answered. Asked and answered. We as Christians, we need sometimes to go back and remember where we come from. We need to go back sometimes. I'm not saying we need to remember our sins. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we need to glorify in our old sins. We don't need to go back to our old lifestyles. I've said it before. The scars we carry tell us where we've been. They don't have to dictate where we go. But as Christians, we need to remember from time to time where we come from. We walk around with our bottom lip dragging. We step on it. We walk around here like we've lost our best friend. Somebody shot our dog or something's going on. I'm telling you right now, we ought to be the happiest people walking the face of the earth. We just going to heaven. We ain't got to die and go to hell. Before God came my way, that's exactly where I was headed. That's exactly where you were headed. We were all dining on our way to a devil's hell. But God intervened, come into where we were, because we weren't looking for Him. We didn't find Him. All these people that say, "Well, I found God." No, He found you. God, He ain't never been lost. Let me tell you, we were born lost. We were born in sin. We were conceived in sin. And unless God intervenes and saves your soul, you'll die in sin. But I'm telling you right now, we need to go back sometimes and remember where we come from. And by doing so, I think that helps us be a better Christian. I think that helps us to walk a better walk and remember some things about our lives that maybe somebody else showed us. Maybe it was a preacher. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was just an old prayer warrior or an old saint of God. That by the way they walked and the way they talked and the way they did things made you see something that they had that you wanted. And our lives, and I know I've said this before, the preacher said this before, I'm sure you've heard it a million times, but it hasn't changed. Our lives are going to be the only sermon that someone hears. Our lives are going to be the only Bible that some people ever read. So we need to be able to answer these questions when they come up. You know, I've had a chance to go into prisons and talk with people about God and share the gospel with them. And people, we're an inquisitive people. We're a curious people. We always want to know why. I went through a journalism class in high school, and they teach you the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions to ask to be a good reporter and to get all the information, and so you get the full story and you don't miss any of the facts or anything like that, so that when other people read it, they know that they're reading the truth. Well, when people come up and ask us about this hope we have in us, because people watch us. When we're going through things in our lives that this world don't understand, when there's been a death in the family, or we've had a tragedy, or a job lost, or a sickness in the family, or something just absolutely just tragic happens, and the world looks at us, and we're still carrying on day to day. We're still smiling. We're still going on. They're looking at us wondering, what in the world do they have? Well, we have something that was placed in us that when we got saved, that the rest of the world knows nothing about, and it's called that word hope. I have a hope in me that runs deeper than any deep there is. I have a hope in me that's broader than any sky. It goes farther than the universe itself. My hope is eternal. My hope is in a holy, righteous God this morning. And that's where it all needs to be. But now, I'm not going to ask all those questions, but the Lord brought three of those questions about the who, what, when, where, why, and how to my mind. And what kind of hope do we have? What kind of hope do we have? Turn to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. It's a hope ever living. It's a hope ever living. Verse number 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And then he goes on to tell him to write down in the book to the seven churches. And he goes on to describe what he saw when he turned to hear that voice, to see that who spake with him. And it goes on down, and it says in verse number 17, it says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. My hope is in a living God this morning. Back over there in 1 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 3, it says, Blessed be the God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. My hope is not laying in Buddha. It's not laying in Allah. It's not laying in the things of this old world. It's not laying in my job, my home, my car. It's not laying in anything I own on this side of eternity. My hope lies on what I own on the other side of the river. It lies in all those treasures I've laid up there, all those prayers, all those things that I've done, and all the things that have happened to me through a righteous, holy God that's blessed me and helped me through my life. Those are the things I have. That's where my hope lies. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. I'm telling you right now, I long and I yearn for the day when we're going home. I look for it. I pray for it. I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. People look at me and said, you're crazy to pray for that. Oh no, oh no, oh no. That's the only thing that's going to get this world fixed. It's the only thing that's going to straighten this world out. Everybody crying, peace, peace. There's not going to be any peace till the Prince of Peace comes and sits down on the throne of David, sets up his kingdom and rules and reigns for 1,000. That's the only time we're going to have peace. That's the only time we're going to have it. So it's a hope of eternal life. It's a hope of my hope is ever living. My hope is everlasting. 1 Peter 1 and 4 says, to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. In other words, it ain't going nowhere. Man can't break in. Rust and moth cannot corrupt. It's set up for me in heaven. It's being guarded by all the angels. I mean, Satan himself can't get in there and touch what I've got sitting over in that celestial city. I've got a mansion sitting over there waiting on me. I've got streets of gold to walk on. I got a river of life to drink from, trees to eat from. But thanks be unto God, the one that hung and died for me on that old rugged cross. He's going to be the center of attention on that day. He's going to be the one that all eyes are turned to that day. He's going to be the one that's being cried, holy, 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 over and over and over for about 5 million years. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great and glorious day. Why? Because God's going to be there. Christ is going to be there. It's a hope everlasting. But it's also that hope of eternal life. That hope of eternal life over in Titus. Over in Titus chapter number 3. Titus 3 and verse number 7 says that being justified in His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thanks be unto God, I've got hope this morning in me. I've got hope of life everlasting. I've got hope I've got hope ever living, hope everlasting, and hope of eternal life this morning. The world don't understand that. They can't accept that. Me and Ginger were talking about it on the way to church this morning. You know, the world has problems accepting absolutes. They can't accept the fact that God is sovereign. They can't accept the fact that God is almighty. God is all righteous. God is all power. They want to put Him in the box. They want to put him in the trunk. Put Him behind a piece of glass. They don't want to see God as He is. The one and the truly only holy God that there is in heaven. You know, but people don't want to see Him as an absolute. They want to take and they want to make themselves or think themselves to be equal with God. Because they can't see Him as being judged. They can't see them as God saying, well, you know, God sending them to hell because they didn't accept what His Son did. People can't get past the fact that God is exactly who He says He is. He does exactly as He says He's going to do. God is always pleased with what He does, and He does as He pleases. Not only what kind of hope, but where do I get this hope? All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. You can get out here and do all the works in the world. You can earn all the money in the world. You can donate. You can go on every goodwill thing there is to go on. But you're not going to get to heaven that way. You get to heaven by the Trinity. It takes all three to get you there. And some people don't believe that either. Some people think that they can come to God on their terms. They think they can come to God when they want to, how they want to, where they want to, cry out for forgiveness and He forgives them and everything's fine. That's not the way it works. That is not the way it works. It takes a thrice holy God. And you say, preacher, well, how do you know? It's right there in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 2. It says elect. That word there means called. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It always has, it still does, and it always will take all three to get you to heaven. God has to send His Holy Ghost to open your eyes, to pull on your heartstrings, to make you see your condition, to make you see that you're lost and you're dying, and you're on your way to a devil's hell, you're just a vile sinner. And then at that time, if you believe with all your heart what Christ did for you on Calvary, and you come up and you cry for forgiveness and have the blood of Jesus applied to your heart, God at that time forgives you. That's it. It's not that hard. People say if it ain't got a owner's manual this thick and costs $50,000, it ain't worth nothing. Salvation is free. It don't cost us anything. All the work's been done. It was done on Calvary when Christ laid His life down on that cross and He took it up again on the third day when He rose from that grave, when He rose from that borrowed tomb. That's where you get this hope. From nowhere else. You don't get it from a book, some self-help program, some Dr. Feelgood or Oprah. That's not where you get salvation from. It comes from a thrice holy God. It comes from being convicted of your sins. It comes from crying out to a holy God and confessing your sins before Him and having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. Then and only then do you have that hope. And if you're not sure you have it, then you probably don't have it. Because it's a no-so. It's not a think-so or I might or I think I did or it might have happened. You know. Because the Bible says, John said, I know that I know I'm a child of God. If you're not, I mean, there's so many ways in this Bible, and I'm not even going to start to go into them, that lets us know if we're lost or if we're saved. There's so many, I mean, there's no denying the fact that if something as big as God moves in you, you know it. Now, there's no denying that. Not only what kind of hope and where do I get this hope, but the most important question I feel could ever be asked is, why do I need this hope? Turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Paul's talking to the Christians at Ephesus here. He's reminding them of a few things. Because that's the second word in verse 11. It says, wherefore remember. See, and that's our problem. We get too big for our britches sometimes. We think that just because everything's going good and everything's going fine and we got gas in the car and we got food in the cupboards and clothes on our back and a job to go to and everything's just going hunky-dory, peachy keen, I ain't got nothing to worry about. We forget how we got there. You know, I've worked for people throughout the years that started out the same place I did and they got promoted and went on up and the farther up the ladder they got, they forgot how far they'd come. They get to this one certain point in their lives or in their jobs or something, and they forget where they come from. I saw that a lot in the Army when I was going through the Army, the part of the leadership traits that you had in the Army were, you know, always remember what your men go through. Always remember where they've been because you were there at one time too. But so many times I saw when they had reached that certain point or that certain pinnacle in their career, they forgot all about that. They forgot what it was like to be in the trenches, to be out there sweating and working and toiling and troubling, because a lot of people, and we as Christians, we're no better. We think that just because when we get up here and we come into this big, nice, fancy building, that we can look down our nose on other people, or that we can look over other people, or we can look past other people, or around other people. Let me tell you, that's where you come from. That's where I come from. That's where each and every one of us come from. Man, weren't none of us born saved. There weren't none of us born going to heaven. I'm telling you right now, we need to understand that we come from a wicked, vile place. And it wouldn't but for the grace of God that we're going to heaven. Because if it hadn't been for the grace of God, then we would have no hope. We would have no hope. So we need to remember some things. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles. And there are certain references made in the Bible, all through the Bible, about Gentiles. And I got to looking at a few of them. And two of them really stood out to me. Over in the book of Romans in chapter number 10, God was talking to Moses. And it was out of Deuteronomy 32. But Romans 10 and 19, Paul's in his epistle to the Romans says, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. Do you realize that God looked at us as being nobodies? God saw us as being nothing, being lower than just about anything else in the world. That's how God looked upon us. That's how God saw us at that point in time. I ain't making this up. Y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says He would make them jealous of the people that are no people. Study it out. Look it up. It means nobody. God, could you imagine a righteous, holy God that created us in His own image looking at us and saying that we're nobody? If that don't humble you, you can't be humbled. If that don't touch your heart and put a little bit of fear in you, you can't be scared. I'm telling you right now, that's how God looked at those people. That's what He told Moses over there. He said, I will put you to jealousy of a people that are no people. And by a foolish nation will I anger you. That's one of the ways God sees Gentiles back in the Bible, back when He was writing this scripture. He saw them as nobodies. And that just stood out to me as being, you know, because I see over there in the book of Genesis when He said, let Him create us in our image. You know, let's make man and woman, and we were created in God's image, and it was, you know, and it was supposed to be the grandest creation and everything and stuff. But then we had a falling out. We fell away. We sinned. Adam sinned. Eve sinned. And it was passed on all down through the generations. So there was enmity put between us and God. So God's view on us changed right then. We were seen as nobody. But not only as nobodies, turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. This is an account of a Canaanite woman that comes to Christ. Verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not, answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In other words, he was calling her a dog. She was a Gentile. She had come from the coast of the Gentiles, from the land of the Gentiles. She was a Canaanite woman. He called her a dog. So we are nobody and dogs. And those two things really stood out to me. Those two things just really made me stop and meditate and think about how God saw me before I was saved. That made me stop and think about what God brought me from. He brought me from a nobody in a dog pound and set me in heavenly places. I've got a place at the table waiting on me because Christ came to me one day and pulled me up out of that nobody pit, pulled me out of the hog pen, pulled me up out of the dog pound, and He saved my old wretched soul. Why do we need this hope? Why do we need it? Because we ain't nobody and we dogs. That's why we need it. We ain't nobody and we dogs. But I'm glad it don't stop there. Back over in our text, I've done got emotional here, thank God. I know salvation ain't all about emotion, but I'm glad I can get emotional about my salvation. Oh, back over in Ephesians, I'm sorry. Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, in verse 11. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, God help us all, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. There it is. Having no hope and without God in the world. I can't even start to imagine what it's like to try to go one day without God. And yet there's people every day wake up and put one foot in front of the other, day after day after day without Him. My, my, what a crapshoot. That's like playing Russian roulette with a .44 Magnum. Because we were nobody and dogs. I like verse 13, though. But now. I mean, that means I can look at it tomorrow and it's still going to say, but now. I can look at it 5 years down the road, it's going to say, now. I can look at it 10 years, 15 years, as long as the Lord lets me live, I can look at this Bible at verse 13, Ephesians 2. It says, but now, thanks be unto God, I have it now. And if you don't, you can have it now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thanks be unto God, He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Thank God He saw something in me that was worth saving to Him. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I can proclaim it. All I know is that one time He brought me from nowhere and put me somewhere. You know, I didn't know where I was going before, but I know where I'm headed now. You know, I didn't know what I was going to have back then, but I know what's waiting on me now. You know, I have a hope because of the hope He placed in me. He put something in me that's going to last forever and ever. I have hope in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have hope in the promises of the Word of God. I have hope that He's going to come back one day and take me home. I have the hope that I'm going to live with Him forever and ever and ever. Why? Because that Bible tells me I have that hope. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen." Those two words, substance and evidence, means things that are tangible. Things that you can actually physically see and put your hands on and smell and feel and touch. You're holding it in your lap right now. You're holding on to it right now. We need to keep our eyes pointed toward the prize. We need to keep the hope in our hearts alive that He put there, and just remember that He brought us from nowhere, being a bunch of nobodies and a bunch of dogs, and made us priests and kings and put us in heavenly places this morning. Thank you. You're dismissed.